All right, so you're just getting started and you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm just going to use Google Suite to manage my cash practice as I get going. Look, I did the same thing. And here's what I can tell you. When I finally had to switch over, it was a huge pain in my butt to try to move all the notes and all of the documentation that I had over to another platform so I could stay compliant. Do yourself a favor, start with a platform that you can scale with that makes you look more credible. When you're trying to book people on Google calendars, come on guys, that's not what a real business does. A real business has something that actually helps support it on the back end and it is branded to you. It looks like your company. Check out PT Everywhere if you're just getting started. They're doing something really cool for cash practices and I really love this with one of the features that they're doing. If you're new, they actually will charge you less as you're getting started and as you grow your membership, your actual dues each month for the platform, it goes up with your practice growing. So you can actually save money up front if you're just getting started, but yet have a platform that you can grow into. I think it's amazing. It's the only company I know of that's doing that. And go figure, it's owned by a cash practice owner, which we love as well. So guys, head over to PTEverywhere.com. Check out what they're doing. If you're just getting started, I highly recommend you check them out. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and man, today I have a lot to get into. I have a lot to unpack that I want to talk about from the mastermind event that we ran in Dallas last week when I'm recording this. You may not hear this for a couple weeks, but the 20th, 21st, 22nd of September, we ran a three-day in-person mastermind event. We had about 120 people there for the event, which in its own right, during the times that we're in, is a challenging thing to run. But we pulled it together and it went really well. And I wanted to share, you know, some lessons learned from this three-day experience, as well as, you know, putting this on and organizing everything and building a team to be able to effectively, you know, run an event like this where people, you know, it's worth their time to come for a couple of days. And many come for, you know, from pretty far distance. Even had our first international business come down. Our Canadian friends up in Toronto, the two of them were able to make it. One had to stay home and hold the fort down, but it was great. And you know, I think it was safe. People felt they felt like, you know, they could be normal and interact around other people that are you know, like them and just be in a safe environment for a group setting that was the size that it was. And that's pretty rare, I think, for what's going on right now. So we were excited and really grateful to have the opportunity to do that. We know it helps their business, but also mentally, it's just so beneficial to be around the right people and, you know, and be able to, you know, have that positive interaction, that positive energy from other folks. And so I wanted to talk about my big takeaways, kind of five, as I wrote down my notes of what I learned and the things that I noticed that I wanted to share with you guys as well. And I, again, I highly recommend, if you are not doing this, investing in yourself to get around people that are going to support you, push you, share what's working, and really, you know, shorten that learning curve that so many of us have to go through in the business world. It's so common for us to do this in the clinical side. I mean, just think about that. Do you think that you would, you know, get out of PT school and just try to figure it out all on your own? You know, so imagine starting a business, but never actually going to school for it and then trying to figure it out all on your own. That's what the vast majority of us are doing. Yet we're totally down to get fellowships and residencies and all kinds of con ed for our clinical skills, which are incredibly important. There's no doubt about that. But if you try to figure it out by yourself, I think, you know, your likelihood of succeeding quickly is pretty low versus finding mentorship, finding people that can share what's working and shorten that up for you is huge. And to be honest with you, if it's our group and it's a fit, awesome. You know, that we would love to work with you. If it's not, then you still need to find somebody or some community or a coach to work with, because you're just leaving money on the table. And more importantly, you're stressing yourself out more than you have to. And this comes from somebody that did that for years. Before I started to invest in myself on the business side, I had to lose a bunch of money. You know, I lost about $90,000 in a transition to a standalone space and build out, gone wrong, hired, you know, just at all the wrong times, paid for things in a way that I shouldn't have. My cash flow got all screwed up. And, you know, to the point where Ashley and I were about to have to start putting payroll on credit cards just to, you know, to pay for our staff that we couldn't even really use because we didn't have a space to put them in because our build out took so long. So that was a catalyst for me. And I hope for many of you, you don't have to go through that pain. Some of you will. Some of you are stubborn like me, and you're going to have to do that. So that's fine. I'm the same way. And I hope that you don't have to take as long as I do or make as significant of a mistake before you realize it's really important to, you know, get some support on this. It's just better that way. You know, you get to share these experiences, the ups and downs with other people. You get to learn what's working, what's not working. And ultimately for us, the goal is to really help this performance, you know, clinician change the health landscape for so many people that they get a chance to work with. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And for me, before I get into all these, you know, I got a lot of clarity on our mission as I put together, you know, what I was presenting. And, you know, for us, I mean, that's really it. Like, we want to be able to provide proven business skills and a supportive community for performance-based clinicians so that they can change the lives of the people they work with to create generational health changes, as well as create time and financial freedom for themselves and their families. So our mission is bigger. It's bigger than us. Like, we're an unhealthy society. Our average life expectancy has gone down over the last 10 years, which is crazy if you think about it. You know, we have the best medical resources on the planet. You know, we're the wealthiest, you know, country on the planet. And yet our life expectancy has gone down for many factors associated with that. That, you know, for our people, the ones that are able to be consultants for the human body, for the people they work with, which is who we work with, they empower them with understanding how to create long-term positive health changes. And that is going to rub off on the people around them. I think that's what people, they forget to keep in mind, that there's a net effect outside of that person you're working with, and it is a noble cause for us to be able to help these people, help more clients. And that's a ripple effect that, you know, is going to continue to perpetuate itself as we are able to help more and more people and help these businesses grow. And frankly, save many of our colleagues from really shitty jobs where they're forced to see such high volume and write endless notes and really make, you know, minimal income in comparison to what they brought on student loans. So many people are down on our profession. Many people are, with good reason. With what I just said, with good reason. But when you realize that there's a way that you can take your skill set, redirect it in a different way, increase your impact, increase your income at the same time, this is why, you know, for us 3 years ago, you know, when I started this, I had six people that I was working with. I guess, well, seven people that I was working with for a year. You know, we have 120 people that we work with on an ongoing basis in our mastermind right now. Another almost 100 people in our, you know, Rainmaker coaching program on top of that. We're talking hundreds of clinicians that are legitimately changing the landscape of our profession, and it's growing. And that's what I'm excited about. That's our, you know, that's our 100-year why. That's what we're motivated to do, because it's not just the business side. It's the impact of the people that we get to help these clients work with on a day-to-day basis that's changing the health of not just themselves, but the families that they surround themselves with. So here we go. Let's get to lessons learned. So first lesson is, it's all about the people. It's all about getting the right people in the room. And I said this at the event as well. You know, for me, when I first started, people came to work with me because they wanted to learn what I was doing. I had been able to scale a cash practice past myself in a relatively short period of time. And I had enough people start asking me about it that it started to become somewhat of a nuisance, answering questions and responding to, you know, emails. And my mentor, you know, Kelly Storette, he said, Dude, you got to put a number on your time. The right people will say yes, and the wrong people will say no. And that's exactly what happened. It deterred a lot of people whenever I said, sure, you know, if we want to work on this, here's what it costs. Because the reality is, if I'm taking an hour away from an hour to like handle something or respond to somebody or get on a call or whatever it might be, it's an hour where I can't market my business. It's an hour where I can't see a patient. More importantly, that's an hour where I can't play with my kids or go out, you know, out to lunch with my wife. So you're, you know, taking that from not just me, but like anybody who is giving up time to work on something, eventually you run out of it, you know. And as a business owner, somebody that was literally like actively growing, scaling my business at the time, it was a complete like, you know, removal of my time from that business to focus on these other things. And I did for a long time. I would respond to emails. It would take me an hour sometimes to look up answers to these things. And even my wife was finally just like, you got to stop this. Like, this isn't okay. And so that's what I did. I put a, you know, a value on my time. And I had seven people that said, yeah, I want to do this. I want to learn more about this. We had no idea what we were doing. I was just sharing what was working. We pulled a little event together. Ashley and I did at our office in Atlanta, you know, and we all sat at a table together, and it was a great time. We had an awesome time. You know, just because it was like-minded people getting together, we still work with a couple of those folks, and the people that we've had a chance to work with in that original group, man, I see what they're doing. And so many of them, all of them really, they're in practice, they're succeeding, they're growing, and I'm super proud of them, every single one of them. And I can't even like begin to thank them for the opportunity that they gave me to share what I was learning and what I was implementing with them, you know, and valuing my time to be willing to pay me to help them do that. But at this point, it's not about me anymore. Like, I am one of the dumbest people in the room. Like, I and it's great. I think it's amazing, and it's very rare to be able to surround yourself with all these people that are just so much more talented and smarter than you are. And a lot of the people that we work with, I see it in them, man. It's like, God, there's some absolute rock stars in the making, you know, that are young clinicians that are just like highly motivated. They're super good at what they do. They have a huge vision, and they're making, you know, big leaps and bounds towards those things. So it's really all about getting the right people in the room, in particular, keeping the wrong people out of the room. And we try so hard to filter those people out. And the vast majority of them, we do. Every once in a while, somebody sneaks through, but it's very rare. And Juliette Storette, who was our guest presenter and shared really all these lessons learned from running San Francisco CrossFit and running the Ready State, you know, building a brand that has multiple, you know, New York Times bestselling books, digital products, you know, consulting, you know, software, I mean, all kinds of things that they've successfully been able to get into. You know, I sat down with her after the day that she presented, and there was probably, I don't know, maybe five of us. This was after the event. We're staying out at this. We did this at this ranch in Texas where it was like an old rodeo, basically. And they had bunk houses, and they had like cabins on the facility site. So we had our team staying out there, you know, all our coaches that weren't local. And Juliette stayed out there as well. So, you know, we were kind of up late the night that she presented. And she said something that I thought was like, you know, really impactful for me. She said, I've been to a lot of mastermind events. So she's been in a handful of different masterminds, lots of business development that she's been to. And she said, this is the most positive group of people that I've ever been with in a business event. She's like, I've never seen anything like this before. Because, and I've seen this too as well in business groups that I'm in or have been in, there's always people there that want to posture and talk about how awesome they are. And they want to talk down to everybody else about where they're not at and why they're so much better, or challenge people in a really negative way on why they should do something different and not be willing to listen or share what's learning with them in a completely sort of agnostic way as to what other people are doing and just trying to be helpful. And, you know, she said, this is a really unique thing as far as the community that we've brought together. And it is hands down the most valuable and important part of what we've been able to do. You know, we have a core of people now, you know, over 100 businesses that are openly willing to help each other, to share what's working, have a legitimate abundance mindset, you know, and be a part of building each other up. And I think that's incredibly rare for you to be around positive people, and even more so in such a specific niche of these performance-based clinicians. You know, and for us, we have primarily physical therapists, but we have chiropractors, athletic trainers, massage therapists. We have people that are helping people create generational health changes, improve movement, improve stress management, sleep, you know, nutrition, and movement in their daily lives. And it's amazing to be able to see these people come together and be just openly willing to share with each other, not talk down to each other, and connect and build their network. And that's something that she said to me that I was incredibly proud of, because we try very hard to get the right people in the room. And when you're in the right room with the right people, that's where the magic happens. It's not about me at all anymore. I mean, I get a chance to speak a little bit. I present, obviously, like there's things that I'll do, but it's trivial in comparison to the interactions people have with each other over breaks, you know, over times where we give them opportunities to break into small groups and interact, to share things, and the takeaways people, I mean, they'll leave with pages and pages of notes that they've written down. I mean, I saw somebody's notebook. He had like 30 pages of notes of things that he'd heard, things that he wanted to do. I'm like, dude, you need to distill that down tomorrow, because like 30 pages is a lot. There's 30 pages of handwritten notes over a couple of days that this person had taken down. And it's because he had the right interactions with the right people. All right, number two, imposter syndrome is always there. And for those of you, you know, that have tried to do anything, you know, of significance, get into a school, you know, get your degree, make a team that you try really hard to make, you know, go into business for yourself, all these things, like it's very common to have imposter syndrome. There's a study that I saw where they looked at, I believe it was the top two MBA programs. One of them was Harvard. I think the other one was Wharton. And these are like high level MBA programs. People don't just sneak in there. And they had the students raise their hand on day one. And they basically asked them, they said, hey, raise your hand if you feel like we made a mistake in the admissions process and you don't belong in this room. Like you're not qualified to be in this room. And the interesting thing is about 2/3 of people raise their hand at the highest level MBA business schools in the entire country. 2/3 of those people raise their hands because they feel like they are not qualified to be there with everybody else. And I feel the same way with the people that we work with, that people deal with imposter syndrome at basically any and every level. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing as long as you can check it, because it shows that you're not arrogant, right? So confidence without humility is arrogance. Arrogance is something that I've had in the past and even to this day to check myself on and be more humble about things and not be overly confident to the point of arrogance. And for a lot of people that we work with, it's almost the opposite. They have to believe in themselves that they are capable to do things, and they struggle with imposter syndrome because they sit there and they look around and they feel like they don't live up to the other people, you know, that are around them. And even for me, to be able to bring a group of people together of this size, and I question myself, I'm like, what am I doing here? Who am I to lead this group of people? Am I even qualified? You know, do I know the right things? Am I capable enough? And the answer is no. I'm constantly trying to learn and improve. And do I feel like an imposter, you know, in front of all these people and sharing, you know, lessons learned? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I also realize that, you know, this is meaningful work. This is the thing I have to improve. I have to work on. I hate public speaking. Hate it. I get so nervous when I have to do it. And yet somehow I found myself over the last 7 years doing an absolute ton of public speaking. And it's because it's where the impact is. And I'm okay with that. And for a lot of you, you're gonna have to figure out, you know, maybe you struggle with something and you're gonna have to work on improving it as well, because the mission is important. The vision you have dictates that you have to learn these skills. And the imposter syndrome for people in this room is a real thing. I talked to many people that felt that they didn't belong in the room. You know, they're like, I just feel like I don't, you know, like I feel like I'm here on scholarship. I feel like I don't belong, you know, and I'm like, good. Good. You do, but you got to gain some of that confidence back up, right? You got to interact with people. You got to know when to lead and you got to know when to follow. And that is challenging for people because in some cases, you may have a business where, you know, you're doing $15,000 a month and you're crushing it. And somebody else, you know, let's say they're at 5,000 and they're trying to grow and you have an opportunity to lead. And then you have lunch with somebody that's doing $80,000 a month, multiple employees, they're growing, they're building out a standalone location, they're buying a building. And all of a sudden now you got to follow. You got to shut up and ask questions, right? You got to listen and hear what those other people have to say and take away the things that they've learned to shorten, you know, what you're trying to accomplish and not necessarily try to posture and make yourself seem like you're more successful than you are at this point. And that's important to be able to know when to lead and know when to follow. But imposter syndrome is always there. And it's not a bad thing. It means that it's important to you and that you're not arrogant, but you have to be confident in where you're trying to go as well as being humble. It's very challenging to tightrope that, to either swing one way or the other. It happens all the time. But imposter syndrome is a real thing. But getting yourself in the right place with the right people and having the right mindset is how we deal with that. So number three is people follow leaders with a clear vision and mission. So this is actually part of what we went over at the event. We had a number of things that we did, but a big chunk that I presented on was helping our community get really tight and clear on their core values, their mission, and their vision. And the reason why is people follow leaders with a clear vision and mission. So as we went over this, I think these are the things that they really make a great company, but are often overlooked. And you know, you're kind of like, why don't you core values? Well, core values they're basically your constitution, right? They are the thing that guides decisions of the people that you work with when you're not around. Core values are how you don't have to micromanage people. It's how you know if you're hiring the right people. It's how you know if you have to fire somebody. And if they're making the right decisions or not, it's based off of what you set down as your constitution in regards to your core values. These are the things that you never think to question. They're the things that absolutely, they're concrete. They're the foundation of what you do. Your mission is your 100-year why. Who are you serving? What are you helping them with? And why are you doing it? Getting really, really clear on that, and your vision being your vivid, kind of more granular description of what your company and ultimately your life is going to look like and what you're moving towards in the future, pulling yourself that way, pulling people with you, you know, attracting the right people to help you get to where you're trying to go because they want to go there too. And if you don't know where you're trying to go and you don't know what guides your decisions, what makes you think that anybody else is going to want to follow you? This is a common trait with leaders that are very influential and accomplish great things is they're very clear on where they're going. They have certainty. And you have to be intentional about what that means for you. So you have to develop and define these areas of your business, even if you're new. And they'll change to some degree. Your core values, probably not so much. These are things that are deep and important to you, not just on the business level, but also on a personal level. You know, if we say like, integrity, right? Almost feel like that's something you don't even need to say. It's expected, right? It's just expected that you have integrity. But, you know, for us, one of our core values is do dope shit with dope people. Like that comes from Snoop Dogg. I got that from Kelly Starrett. That's one of their core values. And I said, damn, I like this so much. We got to make this one of ours. And it's for us, it's, and let's have fun along the way with cool people that we want to work with. Let's do fun things with people that are interesting, with people that are doing meaningful work. That's a core value of ours, right? One of Juliet's for the Ready State, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. If it's not a hell yes, it's a no. That's great. And as you're making a decision, there's a filter. All of a sudden, you know, if you have a staff member and it's like, okay, should we implement this software? If it's not a hell yes, it's a no. It's not worth us making this adjustment if it's not a hell yes. So things like that are why it's important and you have to improve those. The people that have those dialed in absolutely grow faster. They build better teams. They build more resilient businesses and they impact more people. Number four, you have to surround yourself with smart, high integrity people. So for me, in this context, and this in this example, it's going to be who you hire, who you decide to work with, what team you decide to build, right? And again, your core values dictate who it is that you're going to hire and who you're not going to hire. And for us, what's been fun and really just probably the best part of everything over the last few years is having the ability to build a team within PT Biz to help support the business, the community, you know, the clients that we work with, and be able to bring them on, mentor them, see them grow, and honestly, you know, come up with things that just make everything better and let them just be smart people making smart decisions. And I think with our local business, with Athletes Potential, hands down, there's two things that are the most important thing about that business. Number one is the clients we get to work with and the relationships we develop with them and the goals that we help them achieve. It's some of the most meaningful work I've ever done in my entire life. And we're lucky. We're lucky to be able to work in this capacity. And for those of you that say, like, I don't want to be a clinician anymore, or if you're just burnt out because you're seeing all kinds of volume, or this just hasn't necessarily, maybe you've been doing it so long, it's just kind of redundant for you. I think you're missing the point of what you're actually doing and how personally satisfying helping somebody achieve a physical goal and have a mindset shift about what they can accomplish and getting them back to something. It's so personally rewarding. You know, it's something that I would do for free if I didn't have to pay, you know, for food or a mortgage or any of these things. And many of you probably do the same thing. That is huge. The other thing with starting your business is, again, it's the people that you get to bring in to the mix, into your business. And it's something I think that scares a lot of people off. Hiring's terrifying when you first do it. You know, you're responsible for another human being. Like that's a big thing that you have to hold yourself accountable to every single month, being able to pay their salary, being able to have benefits for them, being able to for them to see opportunity to grow within your company. And if you don't, it falls apart or they leave and you have a lot of turnover. But when you build your business, when you build your team, the relationships that you develop, the things you get to see them do. I'm so proud of our staff for being able to buy a house, for being able to, you know, feel confident enough to work with us that our business is going to be able to support them, for them to take ownership over building out their own niches within it, you know, for them to want to focus on being excellent in the clinic and get away from the high volume, to see them have kids, you know, to see them do amazing things, go on, you know, super cool trips and have a great, well-balanced life. Like that's it. That is the most important thing that you do. It's not the money. It's not the impact necessarily of, you know, on your community as much as it is the relationships and team you develop and what you're able to help them accomplish. Like that is the most satisfying thing that I've been able to do in that business. I've been able to do the same thing with PT Biz and see coaches that have come on with us, you know, salespeople, customer success people, you know, operations, all the things on the back end. Like the people we've been able to bring in and the team we've been able to create is my favorite part. And I just want to give a big shout out to a few of the people that really are influential, help us in an amazing way and have really helped us grow what we have today within our community. A big one is Roger St. Onge. He's one of our longtime coaches. He helps coach the Clinical Rainmaker course. You know, one of the smartest salespeople that I know. And, you know, he ran a small group at the event talking sales stuff. And before we knew it, he had 40 people there. You know, one of the smartest people, one of the hardest working people, crazy backstory. You know, somebody that I'm incredibly proud of, you know, to be able to bring him in to share what he's learning and for him to be able to help our community and teach our community the things that he's so good at. Somebody like a Brooke Miller, you know, Brooke Miller is the most detail-oriented, one of the most detail-oriented coaches that we have. It's just amazing. And she's come up with solutions to problems that we've been trying to crack the code on for a long time, and she's come up with them independently. You know, even when we were at the event, she made a suggestion that made everything better for some of the things that we were doing. You know, and somebody that along the way has a business, has three kids, you know, just like has been able to accomplish so much. And we're so thankful to be able to work with somebody like that. People like Amy, Gigi, who helped us run the event, Ashley, who helped me build out a lot of the content on the back end for what I was presenting, Kyle and Brandon for running the actual operations of the live event, all the tech stuff, keeping everybody organized, which is hard to do when you have 100 plus people that are, you know, kind of all over the place. Kingsley, Elizabeth, Andrew, for being such great accountability coaches and really helping people on a monthly basis stay on top of what they need to do. And Courtney Morris for being such a great coach within our Clinical Rainmaker program. He's somebody that I get more positive feedback on than basically anybody. You know, we call him Uncle C. He's an easy person to like. He's well-rounded. He's lived multiple lives, and he's incredibly good at helping people work on the right things and really helping them see their potential and achieve their potential at the very early stages of business, which is frankly, it's the hardest time to do it. So I'm incredibly thankful to be able to work with these smart people and grateful to have them, you know, within our community and helping support our community as we continue to grow. Number five, it's perspective and gratitude. Perspective and gratitude. And there's many of you are probably incredibly competitive. I know I am, to a fault. I've gotten better at this. But I'm still like overly competitive in many things. But there's a balance that has to happen there. As much as I like to compete, it's easy for me to not have perspective for what I've actually been able to accomplish. And that makes it very difficult to feel satisfied with anything. I'm reading a book Tim Grover wrote, who was Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant's coach, and somebody that I just, you know, I think has put some really, really interesting stuff out there about grit and winning. And he paints it almost in a dark way. You know, it's like winning is like, yes, it's nice if you have momentary satisfaction, but you also kind of don't know any other thing. There's no other way. Right? It's like compete, win, push, but you become one dimensional and you become a lonely person when you, all you do is just focus on winning. And most of those people during a time in their life where they were constantly trying to push and win, they were very one dimensional. They didn't have a lot of relationships or they burned them down. And for us, as much as we want our people to win, as much as I want to win, I also like want to have a great relationship with my kids. I want to have a great relationship with my spouse. I want to be physically healthy, mentally healthy. And for a lot of you, you're probably the same way in terms of what you're willing to do, the work that you want to put in. You enjoy it, but more than anything, you're probably very competitive. And the thing that I took away that I think is the most important for me, at least, and hopefully this helps you if you are similar to me in terms of constantly trying to push and feel like you need to, you know, accomplish the next thing. If you're very goal-driven, if you're very driven to win, is to keep in mind perspective and gratitude for the things that you have accomplished. I'm not saying to become complacent, but I'm saying to be content in a way with what you have accomplished, to not burn down everything else around you because of this insatiable desire to progress and win. And sometimes it's a monetary goal. Sometimes, you know, it's an achievement goal. Sometimes it's size of the business. It's a, you know, market share, any number of things. And it's hard to balance that fire to drive yourself forward and succeed and push with perspective and being content with what you've actually accomplished. And one thing that I would recommend, if this is resonating with you in any way, is think back just a couple years, you know, even 2-3 years ago. Where were you? Who were you? What did you believe? You know, What was your mindset? What was the thought process that you had about what you could actually accomplish? Has that evolved? Has that changed? What have you been able to accomplish in your career, in your business? What about as a parent, as a spouse? Where are you at physically, mentally? What are these things that you've made significant progress in? And be grateful for those things. Because for me, to sit at this event, you know, and know that just a couple of years ago, we had 7 people that we're working with, and now, you know, 120 that even made the trip during an odd time. That I'm very grateful for that. And the perspective that I get from that, you know, makes me feel like I don't have to necessarily grind so hard. I've accomplished a lot. I'm proud of it. And, you know, I can enjoy the win, I guess, in a way. Whereas previously, I would not be able to do that. Not at all. Because this is not where we want to be, by the way. Like, we have big goals. You know, we have a lot of work to do. And that I'm not losing the fact that that is the case, and so do all of you. You can be happy with where you're at and what you've accomplished, but still know that there's much, much more to accomplish, and there's much more to compete on and work for. And that balance is so tricky. And one of the things that helps you the most, at least from what I've found, is to literally sit down and think about what you've accomplished and be grateful for that, and be grateful for what you have, you know, and not necessarily just focus on what you want. As much as we want you to have these visions that you're moving towards and know exactly what those are, we also want you to not die in the present because you live in the future. I'll say that one more time, because many of you are future biased individuals. And it's why you're successful as an entrepreneur. It's why you can drag people forward to a future vision that you have in your mind that's so vivid, it's so clear that you can express that to the other people around you and they want to follow you. That's a superpower. I'm not telling you to take that away from you. I'm not saying to push that down. Like, yeah, double down on that. But you have to live in the present. You have to. Because if you live in the future, you die in the present. And your dog doesn't give a fuck about what your vision is. Your kids don't care. Your spouse, I'm sure she cares or he cares, but they also don't want you to just focus and fixate on that. Don't forget what you've accomplished, where you're at. Because if you do, you'll ruin all the things around you that are so important. And please keep that in mind. As I really, you know, I think that's the lesson that for a lot of entrepreneurs, they have to learn such a hard way. It's why so many of them are one-dimensional. Many of them that I've been around, great successful businesses, terrible relationship with their kids, on their third marriage, unhealthy as could be, stressed out all the time, but they got a lot of money. Would you take that trade-off? Is it worth it? Many of them make that exchange willingly. No one has ever checked them. They have been unable to check themselves and find balance. But if you hit the finish line alone, it's a loss, a complete loss. So don't forget to focus on perspective, gratitude, you know, for where you're at, what you've accomplished. Seems something that for me, I like to do at the end of every year. And I think like, man, what did we do this year? What are the important things that I'm grateful for? That I'm proud of, and sit with that, be okay with that, you know, and not be content or complacent. I'm not saying to that, but be content and be happy with where you're at and what you've accomplished and with the people that you're around that you're working so hard to spend the most amount of time with and have the most amount of meaningful experiences with. Do not lose sight of that. That might be the most important thing that we try to instill in all of the people that we get a chance to work with. And many of these lessons we just had to learn the hard way, and hopefully you do not. So that's my 5 lessons, guys. My 5 lessons from the mastermind. I'm going to wrap those up again. So it's all about getting the right people in the room and being around the right people. That's number 1. Number 2, imposter syndrome, it's always there. Every stage, no matter what you do, it's always there. It's okay. get comfortable with it, understand you do belong there, and the fact that you feel like you don't means that you're not arrogant. People follow leaders with a clear vision and mission. Be ultra clear on where you're going and why. What's your 100-year why of what you're doing? Number four, surround yourself with smart, high integrity people. Build your team, you know, build those relationships, help those people thrive. Everything else will work out for you if that's the case. And number five, perspective and gratitude. Keep both of those things. Focus on not just what you want to accomplish, but what you have accomplished, what you're grateful for, and be content with that in some respects so that you can be aware of just how successful and how much you have accomplished and not just constantly feeling like there's more and more and more and grinding, 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 and then losing everything that matters along the way. So those are my five lessons from the Mastermind event. If you listen to this and you say, man, this sounds awesome. This community sounds awesome. Maybe you're a great fit for our group, for our community. If you're a movement-based clinician that has a cash or hybrid practice, or maybe you have an insurance practice and you're trying to move towards a cash or hybrid practice, this is a perfect fit for who we work with. If you're just getting started, our Clinical Rainmaker program is legit. 88% success rate is what we have with that program. Within our Mastermind community, in the room, we had $30 million of revenue sitting in that room in Texas, which probably is going to be $50 million by the time we get back together in Charleston. And if you want to be around a community of like-minded people that are openly willing to share what's working, what's not working, hold each other accountable in a positive way, and you're willing to do that yourself, that's a huge check the box. Are you willing to do that? We would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you about potentially helping you out, adding you to what we're doing, and helping you achieve your business goals, as well as not burn yourself down and all your relationships along the way. If that sounds like something you're interested in, head to physicaltherapybiz.com, and you can check out everything that we have there. You can see people that we've worked with, what they have to say. You can check out more about the programs we have, and you can get in contact with us that way and talk to somebody on our team to see if you're a good fit. And if you're not, then we'll help you try to find who is. You know, our goal is we want people to be able to invest in their skill sets, to build businesses that help support other people in our community and really grow past themselves. And we want to help you do that no matter whether it's us or somebody else. So if you're interested, head to physicaltherapybiz.com, check out what we got, and I hope to see you soon. Hey, real quick before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I would love it if you got involved in the conversation. So this is a one-way channel. I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to get you into the group that we have formed on Facebook. Our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group has about 4,000 clinicians in there that are literally changing the face of our profession. I'd love for you to join the conversation, get connected with other clinicians all over the country. I do live trainings in there with Eve Gigi every single week, and we share resources that we don't share anywhere else outside of that group. So if you're serious about being a PT entrepreneur, a clinical rainmaker, head to that group, get signed up, go to facebook.com/groups/PT Entrepreneur, or go to Facebook and just search for PT Entrepreneur, and we're going to be the only group that pops up under that name.